Hierarchical Condition Categories, or HCCs, aren't a new concept. As more organizations shift from value-based care, even joining Medicare Advantage programs, there has been a renewed interest in the subject. And it makes sense. Without solid foundational knowledge of HCCs, health systems risk lower rates of reimbursement and sometimes not getting paid at all. Welcome to Modern Practice. I'm your host, Dr. Tom Villanueva, Principal in Clinical Operations and Quality at Vizient and practicing physician. Joining me today is a nationally recognized expert in HCCs and clinical documentation, Angela Hunt. Angela, welcome back to the program.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your background and what you do here at Vizient.
Tom, actually, I'm a registered nurse by background. And when I started in clinical documentation improvement, I had already completed 15, 16 years at the bedside as an ER and ICU nurse. Moving into that billing side of things was a definite gap in my education. I had no idea. But when I moved into that, I began to learn about the billing and coding system and how that relates to documentation, which is where I work today at Vizient. It is really just looking to see how we can bridge the gap between what is clinical and what is coding, and how do those two languages interact with each other. So that's what I do for Vizient and for our membership.
We're glad to have you and very lucky to have you here at Vizient. So let's dive right into it. What exactly are HCCs?
I'm glad you asked. HCCs are one of those things that were created by CMS. There's a way that they use them for capturing the comorbid conditions that impact mortality, length of stay, and cost. Those particular HCCs are specific to patient populations for CMS. For Medicare Advantage, they use HCCs for figuring out a payment for the following year. So from the details of it, it's chronic conditions that really impact patients on an everyday basis. They're taking medications for it. They're having either interventions such as oxygen or updraft treatments or things that they do at home to help keep them out of the hospital. But those are chronic conditions that we are treating on a regular basis.
So how and by whom are HCCs used?
So like I said, CMS, and they're only looking at a few patient populations. They are looking at COPD, pneumonia, congestive heart failure, stroke, CABG patients. So, and the other people, HCCs are used by Department of Health and Human Services for their payment plans that are bought through the ACO, and Medicare Advantage uses HCCs to determine payments.
So why is it important that providers know about them? I mean, this sounds more like a primary care issue.
It can be a primary care issue, but like many patients go to specialists, cardiologists, endocrinologists, pulmonologists, all of those bills that are submitted are also submitted with ICD-10 codes that could be an HCC. Because if you're seeing those types of specialties, they're typically seeing them because you have other issues that you are trying to address on a chronic basis. So it is important because they're cumulative from a calendar year. As new conditions occur, you are adding to a particular number that is a multiplier for what your risk is going forward. So there are a few things that do resolve, such as obesity, because you intervene and have a sleeve placed or a surgical intervention, but you can reduce those types of issues and the chronic conditions that come along with obesity. So that's just one of the examples.
So at Vizient, greater than 95% of all academic medical centers are part of our membership. Greater than 800 organizations use the clinical database. Is this something within their line of sight among specialists? Because it seems important.
It's very important. Future plans for this type of patient per patient risk adjustment is really how they want to start paying in regards to all patients. So the more people that are transitioned from traditional Medicare to Medicare Advantage, and I think right now it's 47% of all Medicare recipients are on a Medicare Advantage plan. They want to keep increasing that so that you can imagine if we get one payment per year and it's based on the comorbid conditions that occur with a patient in the prior year, it's going to become really important for physicians in order to get paid for what they do to understand how to capture these particular diagnoses.
You know, Angela, I think you bring up a very good point. Now, through our SG2 colleagues here at Vizient, we know that Medicare Advantage is actually going to continue to skyrocket. Close to 50% of all Medicare beneficiaries have Medicare Advantage, or better term, they're participating in the Medicare Advantage program. And that means that these lives are going to be part of a network or a very narrowed network. So this should be line of sight, because if you're going to actually want to have or participate in these narrowed networks, even if you are a very large, complicated academic medical center, for you to have value for these plans and for their other participants, you're going to want to have a program that you're making sure that these HCCs are part of, right?
Exactly. So there's a lot of electronic medical records now that tag the HCC so that you know that that particular diagnosis is an HCC. But what I think the gap is how do we document accordingly to get credit for that HCC? So when you submit a bill, you're submitting all these diagnoses. You need to understand what they are in order to capture those comorbid conditions. So if CMS only captures the top 25 diagnoses and you have four or five HCCs in position 26, 27, 28, below that 25, you don't get credit for those. So it is very important from a billing perspective that you know what you're submitting, why you're submitting it, who it's going to, and how you need to capture it to get credit. Doctors need to know what they need to document, how they need to document to make sure that those particular diagnoses are not actually missed. And if you get audited, they select 200 records, they look at those 200 records, and they determine if you have captured the criteria. They call it MEET criteria. And that criteria is just basically what we do from assessment and interventions, evaluations, next level of care. That's really what they're looking. I need to follow up with a lab in 6 months. I need to follow up with a test in 6 months, or I need to have this patient go see a specialist in 6 months. So as a primary care doctor, those are the types of things that you're going to want to document in the medical record, whether it's the clinic record or even if they become hospitalized, you want to capture it on that side as well.
So this is just as important in the inpatient and ambulatory arena, and just not even for primary care physicians. We've mentioned this is just as important for specialists to recognize.
Absolutely. It all accumulates for that particular patient and is tracked with their medical record number. So an individual encounter number, because you went to the hospital or you went to a particular clinic, is all rolled up under the medical record number. So we have data, and the purpose of this data is to collate that so we understand what is the risk of this patient dying, or what is the risk of this patient staying in the hospital longer due to comorbid conditions, or what is the expected cost of this patient should they become hospitalized or some other intervention is required. So all of that is supposed to be rolled up into this particular score, if you will, that is tracked and validated by documentation. And when they do the audit, if they determine, let's say that 50% of that 200 records had HCCs that were not validated, they would go back and say, okay, we need to get 50% of our money across the entire patient population back.
Wow. So just to give you an example, whether I'm practicing as a hospitalist or just in general medicine in the ambulatory setting, it's very common that I'll see in the medical record, in brackets or in parentheses, HCC next to a diagnosis. And that's well and good, but I think for many of my colleagues, it doesn't particularly mean anything. What can organizations do? More importantly, how can Vizient help them actually get the greatest value out of this?
So that's a very good question. We are actually working on an analytic that will help supply a diagnosis factor. There are two different types of scoring. There's a demographic factor, which really deals with male-female, age, dual eligibility, meaning Medicare or Medicaid, and whether they are there because they are 65 or older, or whether they became disabled earlier in life, which makes them a Medicare recipient as well. Those are items that we really can't change, so we don't focus on that part. What we're focusing on at Vizient is the number of diagnoses that roll up to each person. So that's really where we're focusing in understanding what the current average RAF score is compared to other similar practices such as endocrinology. Your current score is this average RAF score. Others are actually this RAF score. So are we missing documentation from that perspective? So we are looking at it from that. We have a multitude of educational videos to help doctors understand what HCCs are, how to document them. I think diabetes is one of the greatest examples of this because we taught diabetes for the longest time, type 1, type 2, controlled or uncontrolled. That was really all we wanted. We haven't really expanded past that, but HCCs is very specific in that, yes, you have type 2 diabetes, but is it with hyperglycemia or with hypoglycemia? Because patients can have both. So that's important to know that there's some differences from that perspective and understanding what that verbiage means. That is actually what we teach doctors so that they can determine what's the best way to document for a particular patient.
Well, that's all the time we have for this episode. I want to thank Angela Hunt for joining us, and she'll return next episode to continue our discussion. If you'd like to contact Angela, we put her email in our resource section on the podcast page. And if you have any additional questions pertaining to modern practice or simply want to send me your comments, please contact me at our email at modernpracticepodcast.com. We also posted a link in our resource section. And please join us for other Modern Practice Podcasts on the Vizient Medical Leadership Channel. Subscribe today, like us, or send us your comments. Also, please listen and subscribe to SG2 Perspectives, the podcast and the latest of healthcare strategy. I'm Dr. Tom Villanueva. Thank you so much for listening.